thing on. Yep. Again, it's a real privilege to be here. And you know why? I get to talk about something and someone I really love. That's why it's a privilege. And we love to talk about what we love. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, really, even if you were kind of a shy person, you will love to talk about him. And, you know, I really was a shy person. I suppose that you don't change. But I've gotten used to telling people about Christ, everything about him. And I love it. I love talking about Christ. I'll talk to him in my prayer. And I talk to God the Father. So talking to other people, sinners, even if they're not saved by grace, they're just sinners, unsaved, even strangers, once you've spoken with God, you can speak to people. If you realize that, you can speak to people about Christ. Don't be shy. You've already spoken to God. So you can speak to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You shouldn't be afraid of man, and you shouldn't be afraid of the devil, because we're in Christ. We're in God. We're with Christ in God, and it's on Mrs. Batstone's tombstone in the cemetery. Mr. Batstone, we were talking about him a little bit. I think about him all the time. He used to be here. He died in 1987 in January, but I think of him quite a bit. And that's because I thought of him quite a lot when I was with him. Good man. But he wondered what to put on his wife's tombstone. A short portion. The cemetery commission did not want him to write anything on it, but he insisted, because she died first, Mrs. Batstone. He said, what would be good? It's in Colossians, and I'm not going to tell you where it is. You have to look it up. But you'll find it near the beginning. It says, with Christ in God. Isn't that wonderful? There's many wonderful things in the scriptures, and what I'd like to do tonight, you know, is to count our blessings. Back when I was young, I was in a religious organization that was not of God, really. They thought they were. But they used to tell us, if you don't want to be depressed, what you should do is count your blessings. And that's good advice. It really is. Even coming from them, it was good advice. Another good thing they told me was that I was going to hell. They didn't tell me how to get saved, but they did say, count your blessings. Being unsaved, I didn't know what those blessings were, so I had a hard time counting them. But since we've been saved, we know that we have really showers and showers of blessing. Another thing about counting your blessings, it not only cheers you up, makes you feel good, what it does, it stimulates worship. You know, when somebody gives you something, doesn't matter what it is, if you treasure it, it's a blessing. And when you think about it, it makes you happy. And it gives you kind thoughts to the one that gave it to you. Women, more than men, psychologically, they're hardwired this way. Their emotions are more like on the surface. They're more able to talk about them. But I notice one thing that women do more than men. When they get down a little bit, one of their means of self-defense, psychologically, is to bring up the blessings or the nice things that happened to them in the past. And it actually makes them feel a lot better. But the same process works for the Christian as well. And with that in mind, I'd like to turn to the book of the Ephesians. And I could go to a number of books, especially in the New Testament, that talk about the blessings that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we were born physically as babies, certain things were going on around us. I've mentioned this before. I was there when my two daughters were being born, and I was there and I was able to observe things. My daughter was there too, of course, both of them, but they had no idea as to what was going on. That came later when at least one of my daughters has a child now, thank God, and she went through the process herself, but she came to an understanding of what had gone on while she was being born. Different things going on around us. It's possible for a Christian to be saved, of course, they wouldn't be a Christian without being saved, but to never come to a knowledge of the things that had gone on at the moment of our birth, spiritually. And every one of those things is a blessing from God. Every one of them. God has limitless blessings for us because He is God, and if we're saved, we are His children. I think I told you about a brother who was a missionary down in Chile. His wife was very sick, and he had a big hospital bill. I think I spoke it in the Tuesday night meeting. Some of you have heard it, and some of you haven't. This man was in his 80s, and of course he had no medical insurance, and he ran up quite a large hospital bill. And the doctor was very concerned, and he came to this brother, and this old brother, he was in the beginning stages of Parkinson's disease. He was shaking, and he looked his age. He was in his 80s, and he looked every bit of it. And he said to this aged brother, this missionary now here in the United States, he says, there's quite a large hospital bill. How do you expect to pay it? And this brother in his 80s said to the doctor, I have no money at all, but my father is very rich. Now, the doctor didn't know what to say to that because this man was 85 years old. Your father is still living? Your father is rich? We know who his father was and is. We have a blessing. By the way, that hospital bill was paid, every nickel. Every nickel was paid without medical insurance, and it was many thousands of dollars. We are rich in Christ. We have blessings and blessings and blessings, blessings we know nothing about. Do you know that things happen to each one of us that we actually don't know about? Every so often, a miracle happens in our lives, and we don't know a thing about it. You don't know because God never shows you. A car accident that never happened, that was going to happen, but God said no. Any amount of disasters that could possibly happen, God intervenes and says no. Nothing can happen to you without God's permission. Did you know that? Read the book of Job, especially at the beginning, and you'll see that God gives permission sometimes for the greater good and for His glory. Things happen to us not by accident or circumstance or coincidence, but by the will of God. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Now let's get to our scriptures. When we were saved, and this will cheer you up, especially young ones, sometimes I remember being depressed when I was a child. I had a lot to be depressed about, I suppose, and maybe not as much as you. but I get over it. I'm counting my blessings that we have in Christ once I got saved. Look what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of the Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Now, there are many, many scriptures that I am not going to deal with here tonight, simply because there are too many blessings. You know, the psalmist David said, "My cup runneth over." He knew something of the blessing of God. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. "Even when we were dead in sins, God," well, I'll back up to verse 4, "but God who is rich," remember that rich father? "God who is rich in mercy for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." Do you know that God loves the unsaved? Do you love the unsaved? Do I love the unsaved? I hope so. That's why we preach the gospel. We're on a mission of mercy. We're a merciful people, I hope. I hope we never stop preaching the gospel. There are people dying in their sins. They're going to go to hell, and you have to tell them. You have to tell them where they're going. Don't be afraid of saying, "Well, you won't go to heaven," and you leave it at that. No, I don't do that, because I learned that that doesn't really get them. What I needed to know was that I was going to hell. But on the other hand, that God loved me even in my unsaved state. Now, you don't love God as much as God loves you, and neither do I. God is rich in mercy. You know what mercy is? It's different than grace. Mercy, I'll tell you what mercy is. When we were kids, we used to play mercy. And we used to lock hands like this with the other child and see who was stronger. We used to bend the wrists back and bend the wrist back this way and bend his wrist and he'd bend my wrist. And once, most of the time, I would go down on my knees and he was bending my wrist back and back and back until I cried out, "Mercy." Mercy in the scriptures is God withholding something bad that we do deserve. We deserve to go to hell. It's by mercy that I lived for 22 years before I got saved. It's mercy, if you're not saved yet, that you're alive. Now, grace is a little different. Mercy is something bad that we deserve, that God's not going to give us. He's going to hold that off. That's mercy. Grace is different in that it is something good that we do get that we don't deserve. We deserve bad things. We're sinners. So one of the blessings that we do have is God's mercy. It's a blessing to have mercy, especially from God. "For his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has made us alive." Blessing number two in our portion tonight. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. Remember, I spoke a lot long ago about resurrection, which is life from the dead. God says we're dead in trespasses and in sins. We're dead to God before we get saved. Now, can a dead man pray to God before you get saved? What do you think? Can the unsaved actually pray to God? Yes, they can. They can pray to God. And God in his sovereignty can answer that prayer if it's his sovereign will. He hears the unsaved. He hears everything that goes on. He knows their every thought, as well as the thoughts of the Christians. God can answer the unsaved. How about a prayer like this? "Lord, save me." You think God will answer that prayer? He certainly will. He may not answer it immediately, but he will alter circumstances so that you can hear the gospel. Remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? He was an unsaved man, and he was praying. Before God, he prayed as best he could without the Holy Spirit. He wasn't saved. He was praying. He was doing good works. God is watching, and God wants to enrich Cornelius. Cornelius was already a wealthy person in that day. He wanted to make him richer. He wanted to give him ultimate riches in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what did he do? An angel appeared to Cornelius. Did the angel give Cornelius the gospel? No, sir. He had to send for Peter. The gospel doesn't really come from angels. God has commissioned you and me to give out the gospel. Cornelius had his prayer answered. It came up for a remembrance before God. And what happened? Peter came, gave Cornelius the gospel. Not only did Cornelius get saved, the whole house was gathered together, and Cornelius' household believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. Isn't that a blessing? God longs to bless the unsaved with salvation, and not just salvation, because then they become Christians, and there's more blessings. Salvation is just the first step in all the blessings that God has to give. So, yes, the unsaved can pray, but answered prayer is also a blessing for the Christian. I told you this morning how my mother got saved. Now, my mother would have gone to heaven whether I knew about it or not. But do you see what God did? I was alone with my mother in the beginning stages, actually halfway through Alzheimer's. That was the last time I saw my mother clear-minded. And I saw that she was clear-minded, and so I jumped right in with the gospel, and I told her she needed to be saved. She's dying. She's going to go to hell. I didn't mince words. My mother was a very plain-spoken woman, and you have to speak their language, and I did. Says, you're going to hell. You must believe on the Bible. I know you rejected it in the past, but trust it. She said she would and is trusting Christ. Now, God didn't have to let me see that, as I said. But God is my Father, and he didn't want me to die of sorrow and sadness. God is your Father. There's a blessing. How many of us know how to give good things to our children? I think every parent, especially saved ones, know how to give good things to their children. How much more, the Lord Jesus said, shall God the Father give you when you ask him? He'll give you things you don't even ask for, because he knows it's for our own good. All right, that was blessing number two and number three. Look at verse 6. And has raised us up together. This is life in Christ. We were dead in sins. He raised us up together, because he's using the plural here, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't that remarkable? That's the past tense. Are we in heaven yet? God says we are. You're as good as there. When I used to take children to baseball games, I stopped doing that because the language, they served beer at Fenway Park. They've been doing it for some time. And I had to stop taking children to Fenway Park. I thought it was a great thing for baseball. These children that I used to take were very enthusiastic about baseball, and it really was quite a good experience at first. We'd go in there, and they were all worried. All the children were worried as we were going there. They saw Fenway Park on the TV watching the baseball games. They said, there's a lot of people there. Are we going to be able to get in? I said, sure we will. And I had showed them the tickets that we had. They had, this is your ticket, this is your ticket, this is your ticket. And I'm holding them. But I says, that seat cannot be occupied by anybody but you, because that seat is your number, it's your seat, it's reserved for you. I bought the tickets ahead of time, and it was perfectly legal for you to sit in that seat. Do you know that our seats in heaven are reserved for us. You have a seat in heaven that no one else can sit in, really. That seat has your name on it forever and ever, the moment you got saved, you might say. There was an orchestra one time, and the music that they were going to play had no need for an oboe. That's a musical instrument. I've seen them. Hard to play. But you know what happened? That man that was an oboe player, he says, I don't have to go. The orchestra leader said, oh, yes, you do. He says, there's nothing for me to do. He said, your seat will be empty if you don't show up. You have to be there. Even if you don't play, you hold your oboe like this, and you have to be there, because otherwise your seat will be empty. Do you know that there won't be any empty seats in heaven? I don't believe it. I can't give you scripture for it. God knows who's going to be saved and who won't. That's true. But you have a seat in heaven, for sure. And your seat is there, and it's reserved for you. Because you're sitting together, that sitting is an attitude, as opposed to standing. You ever go to a place that had standing room only? You get tired pretty quick, don't you? Well, that's sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're all together. Did you ever hear of the marriage supper of the Lamb? That's another blessing to look forward to. One of the things you need to have a happy frame of mind, there are many things. Count your blessings, that's one of them. There's plenty of blessings there. Something good to look forward to. We have a number of children here, and I would, if I was a gambler, I would be very safe in betting that you children are waiting for Christmas pretty soon. It's actually in a couple of months, about 8 weeks. People are already starting to talk about shopping for Christmas gifts. And when I was a child, I looked forward to it. It made me happy. My father used to pile us into the car, and we used to go around looking at Christmas lights, driving around at night. I'm going to do the same thing with my grandchild. He loves light. Maybe he's saved already. Men love darkness rather than light, generally. But he loves lights. And I'm going to be happy. I'm waiting for Christmas. This will be his first Christmas. He'll be just a year old at Christmas. And of course, they get presents. But the greatest gift that we've ever gotten is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, you notice that we have heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our gift. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, here's something interesting. Is there any limit to the Lord Jesus Christ in his beauty, in his power, in his perfection? Not at all. So forever and ever and ever, God is going to reveal to us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How would you like to look forward to that? Now, I know when we're younger, we don't appreciate Christ. We don't have that much, as much as we should. We don't appreciate him. I know we do. If we're saved, we do appreciate Christ because he died for our sins. But you know what happens? We were singing recently, Sweeter as the Years Go By. What, is Christ getting sweeter as the years go by? No. Our appreciation of him is getting sweeter as the years go by. If you think you love the Lord Jesus Christ now, wait till we get to heaven. If we think that we can worship now and not, the remembrance meeting is so beautiful, wait till we get to heaven. Then we shall be what we should be. Then we will be what we would be. We shall be able to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. And God is going to reveal more of his Son to us throughout the endless ages of eternity. And it goes on to say here, one of our favorite gospel verses, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship," here's that phrase again, "in Christ, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Our blessings are in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a child, I used to love comic books. And they had one character that I thought was pretty funny. I suppose it says a lot about me. My favorite cartoon character was Donald Duck. It sounds funny coming from a platform, but I'm just making a point here. Donald Duck had an eccentric uncle, Uncle Scrooge, who was also a duck, of course. And what his favorite pastime was, he had this big concrete building. And what he used to do, when he was exceedingly rich, and he had all his money in coins and dollar bills, and it was just a big room inside this big concrete, almost like a skyscraper. And you open the door, and there's nothing in there except all money. And what he used to do, he used to just lie there in bed in that money, lying on the money, just like you were lying in a swimming pool. And he would take his money and throw it up in the air, and that was his happiness. And it was pretty funny. But that's how I feel about the Lord Jesus Christ. More and more, I feel that way as I get older about the Lord Jesus Christ and the riches he bestows. He doesn't get sweeter as the years go by. I appreciate him better as the years go by. And you get richer and richer and richer. You realize the riches that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it in other people, and you wonder, oh, if I could only enjoy Christ like they do. There's a way of doing that. One of the ways of enjoying Christ more is to actually read his word. Somebody once time years ago, a young Christian, newly saved, he was a godly man, still is. I saw him not long ago. Grown up now, he has a lot of children of his own, and he's raising those children up for Christ. But when he was first saved, he came to me, and I asked him how he was doing, and he says, "Not so good." I says, "Why?" I says, "You aren't sinning, are you?" He says, "No." He says, I want to be close to Christ. I'm not running away from him. I want to be close to Christ. He told me, I said, "Well, what are you reading? Are you reading the scriptures?" He says, "Yes, I read the scriptures every day. Are you praying?" "Yes, I do." I says, "What are you reading in the scriptures?" He says, "Well, I'm going to read through the whole Bible. I'm starting off in Genesis. I'm through Genesis, and now I'm going into the first five, the next books, and next books, and next books, in sequence. I'm going to go through the Word of God." I says, "Have you ever read the New Testament lately?" He says, "Not for a few months, no." "You've got a red letter deficiency. You need not vitamin B1. You need a B vitamin, the blood vitamin, spiritually. You need the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to read through the Bible. But you know what? I think we lose something if we don't combine the New Testament with the Old Testament. I mentioned that to someone else recently. To get closer to Christ, one of the things you do is meditate upon him. You got to eat every day, otherwise you'll get weak. And for a new Christian especially, where you really can't see the Lord Jesus Christ that much in the Old Testament, you really have to go to the sincere milk of the Word in the New Testament. I believe this with all my heart, and get the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been saved a number of years, a long time really, since 1969. And I still need to meditate all the time on the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be strong in Christ? You've got to feed on Christ. Never get away from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're so beautiful. They're so wonderful. Everything he said was wonderful. That's because he's wonderful. You know, when we speak, sometimes we speak of what we are. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, he spoke of what he is. There was no way he could ever say a word out of tune with what should be said. The Lord Jesus Christ is our food. That's why they call him the bread of life which came down from heaven. We must feed on Christ. How do we do that? I said not long ago, the last time I spoke, there's a picture in the Bible of the clean beast and the unclean beast. Now, one of the reasons why a beast is unclean, of course, is what they eat. A fish, for instance, had to have scales for it to be called a clean thing. To eat a clean fish, it had to have scales and so on. Another thing about a clean beast, it had to chew the cud. In other words, you see a cow, it looks like they're sitting there chewing gum. Their mouth is going like this, just like some people when they chew gum. You see their mouth going all the time. But what they're doing, they're lying down, they're not bending down and eating grass, they're actually re-chewing the grass they've already eaten. They cough it up and they chew it. It sounds a little gross, but God calls that a clean beast. And the beast also has to have a cloven hoof. The hoof has to be split down the middle, which speaks of a separated walk. But the chewing of the cud means that we're chewing over God's word. We take in our Bible verses in the morning is a good time so that we have the rest of the day to meditate and to chew it over. And God the Holy Spirit, this is why the Bible is a supernatural book. God the Holy Spirit will take the things that we've read, especially the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will bring new thoughts to our mind concerning him. New thoughts that we've never heard before. That same brother that I told you about that had a big hospital bill that was paid, I once heard him open up John 3:16 to me. I was sitting at his dinner table. His wife was out of the hospital. Mr. Batstone was there. And I heard him open up John 3:16. Now, I had memorized John 3:16, as most of us here have, even the youngest ones. Many of us memorize that verse. It's lovely. But he brought me into so much truth that I never really understood. From John 3:16, he had other scriptures that he brought in, and what a wonderful journey that was. It was wonderful. He opened up the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, comparing scripture with scripture. He says, this verse will lead you to this verse, and that verse will lead you to another verse, and this verse over here. It was more than I could take in. I didn't have a tape recorder. I wish I had. I had a feast. He had dinner for me, but I don't even really remember what I ate for dinner. But I certainly remember what spiritual food I got. And I fell in love with Christ all over again. Isn't that something? Do you fall in love with Christ every day? That's what we should be doing. And how did that happen? By feeding upon the Lord Jesus Christ, his person and his work. This portion that we've read, in Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. We were created in Christ in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are built in Christ. Look at verse 22. Do you know that you're a building? This building is not the church. We are the church, a small portion of the vast church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Saints still alive, saints gone to glory. We are part of something. So many young people today want to be part of anything, as long as they're a part of something. You never make the football team. You're the last one chosen, taking sides for games. That was me, by the way. I was always the last one. Last resort Rieger, they used to call me. Oh, come on, you can play with us. Well, do you know that you're part of a building of God? You're precious to God. We are a terrific edifice, a temple of the Lord, really. That's what it calls us, a temple of God. We're a temple. You know why? A temple is a place where God is supposed to dwell. If you're saved, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. There's a blessing. Does that scare us? Does it frighten us? Maybe it should make us careful. The Bible says, "Thou, God, seest me." God is God. The Holy Spirit is certainly God. He is a person. Do you know that it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit of God? It's also possible to quench the Holy Spirit of God. What's the difference? Grieving the Holy Spirit basically is something that we do that is wrong. Sin quenches the Holy Spirit in others. Suppose I knew someone one time that wanted to preach the gospel on the Worcester Common. They were saved. They were, in fact, they were in this meeting many years ago. But another Christian told that person, he says, "Don't do it." A Christian says, "Don't do it, don't do it. The ones that are going to be saved are going to be saved anyway. You don't have to do that. Don't go out there and do that. It's dangerous, too. They're going to throw things at you, and they're going to hate you." And I wonder if that person was saved that told them not to preach. I don't know. That's quenching the Holy Spirit. God would have all men to be saved. Every last person on the face of the earth, there's room in heaven. And there's room at the foot of the cross for everyone who ever lived to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the sin debt for everyone. And I can prove that from Scripture. This morning we were in 2 Peter talking about apostates. It says they denied the Lord that bought them. There's a difference between being bought and being redeemed. Did you know that? There's a difference. Being bought is one thing, being redeemed is another. If you're redeemed, you're saved. If you're just bought and not redeemed, you're not saved. Christ died for all people. Well, he quenched the spirit in that young man. You know where that man is today? As far as I know, he's not gathered to the name of the Lord. He's not gathered to anything. Living up in Maine, last I heard, and his wife divorced him. And his family is broken up. Called quenching the spirit. Maybe something else happened, but that's something other people do to the individual. Grieving the spirit is something we do to ourselves. You've got to be careful. I'm going to stop now. Its time is up. I didn't say everything. In fact, I knew I wouldn't, because there's so many blessings in Christ. We have to be very careful to use our time diligently. I didn't want to gloss over anything. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the time that we are able to spend talking about thy things, talking about thy Son. Oh, Father, how precious he is to us. We're so glad that we have all of these blessings in thy Son. But of course, our Father, we know that thy Son himself is thy greatest blessing given unto us. Unto us, a child is born, a son is given. Father, we thank thee for giving so much to us in the person of thy Son. Help us, Father, to walk worthy of him. Help us to love him more and more every day. Help us to count our blessings in him that we might love thy Son more dearly. Think of him more often. And Father, that we might live Christ before the unsaved. And Father, be able to preach the gospel or to witness or to share Christ with others by tracts or by other means. We thank thee, Father, for this meeting. Thank thee for everyone here. We ask thee to bless each one. For we ask it in thy Son's precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.